And how great is our God? He's worthy of all our praise. And so I thank you for being part of our congregation today, our worship, to praise him, to enjoy him. And I hope by the end of the service you'll still say, he is worthy, I'm still praising him, and we'll go from there with it. We're starting a short little series, 2 weeks, called Ordinary. I love it when ordinary people do unexpected things. It even impresses me more when ordinary people do something extraordinary. So if I mention a basketball player named Spud Webb, what do you know about him? Thank you. There goes my cue. Short. And how short was he? About this short. 5'7". That's me. Okay. What do you know what he did in 1986? Now you don't know. Wonderful. Believe it or not, this 5'7" little guy won the 1986 slam dunk competition, the NBA slam dunk competition, over Dominic Wilkins, who was 6'8", give or take there. From ordinary to extraordinary. So today we are going to look at four men who were asked to follow me. These men were looked as common, ordinary people. It's about ordinary people who left ordinary lives to do extraordinary things for God. And just to give you a little insight, this is just the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Here he's starting to call. He knows what his calling is, what he's been asked to do. So I want you to picture yourself today as we read Scripture today to get into that picture. What is being said and done? Feel the emotion that's going through today in the book of Mark. So I asked you to open up your Bibles or follow it up on the screen if you would, Brenda, please. Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 16, going through 20. Picture this. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, where they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He went a little farther, as I put it. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Today's message is called Dropping Your Nets. You know, as a young Jewish boy growing up back then, if you were good enough at memorizing, reciting the scriptures, intelligent enough, they could be picked by a rabbi to follow in his footsteps, to be taught by the rabbi, to imitate the rabbi, to gain knowledge of the world, so to speak, and what we call now also the Old Testament. Then someday, they would be able to say, "I am a protege of so-and-so." There was a status part of it. Then they could go on and teach their own disciples. If the boy failed the test, so to speak, or did not make the grade, they found a different line of work, like an ordinary fisherman. By being a fisherman meant you did not make the religious order. By the religious elite, this meant you were not good enough. You were uneducated, common, and ordinary men. As Mark has written, here comes Jesus, the King of Kings, walking along the shoreline and offers something totally new. Come, follow me. Be my disciples. See, that come follows me, this is an invitation for all. Not just the elite, but for everyone. See, Jesus wanted these four men, calling them into a discipleship, to connect with them, and them connecting with him. I want you to be my disciple. Do you know how much that would mean to someone to be considered common, ordinary, when somebody says, I want you? See, Jesus called them to be a disciple that was not just the religious elite, it was for everyone. Come, follow me. But here they were, all of them. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John sitting in their boats. Common, ordinary men. Just as we are sitting in this room, and take it as no offense, or those who are listening, we're common, ordinary people. But maybe you are thinking right now, I'm not special enough, not good enough, I'm not able to be used for any reason. I want to tell you right now, you are wrong. Because the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power can rest on me. See, no matter what your background is, no matter your age, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter what someone has told you, no matter how weak you might think you are, Jesus is willing to bring glory to him through you. He doesn't need our ability, but our availability. But here's something that stands out with these four men, Peter, James, Andrew, and John, to the call of Jesus, that invitation that they had. They dropped their nets. Their response to that invitation was immediately. Verse 18 says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Verse 20 says, without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boats with the hired men and followed him. See, that command, come follow me, in the original Greek actually says, come behind me, come after me. But really what it meant for Jesus was, come with me right now. That's what he wanted. See, immediately after they left their boats and their father, they followed Jesus. I like how Mark puts that emphasis on the speed at which these men put down their nets and followed him. I can see Simon, Peter, and Andrew casting their nets. And probably just before they'd ever hit the water, Peter was already out of the boat following after Jesus in his own unique way. Because we know Peter was a unique individual. But the departure of James and John was just as abrupt. One minute, they're mending their nets under the watchful eye of their father. The next minute, they were off following Jesus. It's almost like, sorry, Dad, I got to go. Bye. Immediately, that response to the call. See, these nets to them represented their livelihood. It was how they provided for their families. It was who they were. Fishermen. They could not be rabbis. But it was their identity. It was who I am, they were saying. It was everything to them. But here comes this King of Kings, Jesus along the shoreline says, "Come, follow me." James and John might have heard of Jesus. Andrew and Peter knew of Jesus according to John chapter 2 from John the Baptist. But they knew something already. If they followed Jesus, they knew they may be in trouble with that religious elite. There would be cultural issues that they would have to face if they followed him. Something like today we face. But they have left their livelihood behind. No questions asked. Immediately they answered the call when Jesus came calling, "Follow me." See, they also had that willingness and obedience to follow the call. See, they may had little understanding of who this Jesus was, but they answered the call. There were no questions asked of Jesus. They followed him. I love what John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. "This is a love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." See, he wrote this 30 years later or plus. He experienced everything that Jesus went through. He realized they weren't burdensome. They were educational. They were true. He followed them. See, John witnessed that all with Jesus. He's telling us there's no burdens that Jesus puts on us. But it was about a willingness to follow him that John did. He uses ordinary people who have nothing to offer but a faithfulness and willingness to say yes to God. Come follow me. That willingness is the number one thing that God needs from you and me. And I know at times that is hard, because I struggle myself with all this. We all do. That willingness to follow him means that we are being obedient to the call, knowing that God has our best interest at heart is always his concern. It means that our will and God's will become as one and the same. You know, when I got out of high school, I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but my mother took care of that for me and found me a job. You may laugh, but that's the truth. There was a gentleman down the road who had his own electrical business, and I started working for him. The following year, in 1974, he got me into an apprenticeship program. See, Ron was my journeyman. I was his student. That also meant that I had to do something I did not like to do, and that was to go back through 4 years of education. And my wife can tell you, I wasn't very good. But I was under his supervision all the time. But see, these four men that I've talked about went under an apprenticeship with Jesus as students or disciples. You know, I really enjoyed being an electrician. That four-year process was not always easy. But even today, as I retired, that process, I look back, that whole electrical business changed. It was always changing. But I realized then there was things I had to do. I was continually a student of electrical. But that call to come follow me is also for us to become the student. Matthew 7, 28 and 29 tells us, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd was amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one with authority, not as their teacher of the law." John 14, 23 tells us, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we'll be come to Him in our make our home with Him. And John 8:31 tells us, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To be the student, you have to follow the teacher's instructions and directions. For we know, as we read through the Bible, there's been plenty of times there was a so-called pop quiz that Jesus would always put to His disciples. Some misunderstood the test. Some failed the test. Some passed the test. But the changes I saw in the 46 years of being an electrician from beginning to end was unreal. As some of you know in here, how things have changed from a lot of wiring to the beginning to when I retired, you could do a lot of things on computer. It changed that much. But you had to grow with the changes. And that's the same thing with us. To be a follow me student, you have to grow and change daily. In spite of their failures, in spite of their shortcomings, they answered the call to follow me, continually learning and growing in Christ. This also should remind us that discipleship is a process. Discipleship is a process of transformation that goes the entirety of our lives. We just can't stop. We always have to continue to grow through each day of our lives. See, as we continue to study and grow in our relationship with Christ, we are called to identify with Jesus' mission, to obey His commands, to align our lives with His mission, to love unconditionally, to humbly serve, to be the example of a world that needs Christ. We have to remember, we have to align our lives with His mission, to love unconditionally, to humbly serve, to be an example to the world that needs Christ. These men Jesus called out were not just mere fishermen, but they would later to become heroes of the faith we're still talking about today. Those who the religious elite rejected are part of our scriptures today because they dropped their nets and answered the call, "Follow me." Today's Father's Day, and as I've kind of realized of different things, there was different words came up through this. It kind of tied in more than I thought today. So you dads today, I wish you happy Father's Day. The grandfathers, I wish you the same thing, and other men who have roles in different people's children's lives. So dads, I asked you this question. And I had to look at myself when I asked these questions. What do our kids see in us? Do they see a Christ-like example? Do they see us as leaders of the faith and a student of Jesus Christ? Do we talk to our children about our struggles and challenges we face in walking with Jesus Christ? I had a while back to opportunity just to talk with my 17-year-old granddaughter. who was a very intelligent young lady. And so she's a debater. Well, we had a chance to talk about worshiping God, her aspects of how she saw it. We talked about abortion and what was going on in their lives. There's different things we still have to talk to our kids about, whether we like those topics or not. They struggle with them much more than I did. I got to learn a lot from my granddaughter, how she sees worship, how she sees life. But I am also happy to hear how she worshiped. That was amazing. So continue, parents, dads, talk to your kids, your grandkids. Get involved in their lives best you can. Because it's our example to them to be and should be, come follow me. So dads, grandparents, and others, whatever you are doing, don't give up that responsibility. Keep going. As followers of Christ, our identity is linked to our calling. That calling of Jesus Christ to drop our nets and to follow Him. But also, when you drop your nets and follow me, as Jesus says, it has a cost. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself and take up their cross and follow me. That meaning of dropping your nets and follow me was a huge immediate decision for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They would follow him, leaving everything behind. That willingness Peter and James, Andrew and John, to be his disciples meant they were open to Christ's suggestions, open to how he was changing, how they thought about things and people. To drop their nets would bring pain and suffering upon them. But they were still open to what he had planned for them. Open to his call, follow me. Whatever that may be in the cost. They still dropped their nets from ordinary to extraordinary. There may be some of you are saying, I like my lifestyle. I want to be an ordinary fisherman, so to speak. I'm comfortable with where I am in life. Somewhere around 22 years ago, Jesus said, come follow me again. That was when he called me into ministry. So that meant another cost for me. I went back to school again. But I loved it. I counted that cost. But the sad part today in this world, there are too many people busy in our world to hear that invitation to drop their nets. They like being in the world focus and doing things. But there are people that we know probably who are probably chasing the American dream, so to speak, the fancy car, the biggest bank account, or the biggest house. That list can go on and on for us. We chase things that we think we need, not chasing Christ. We have to remember the American dream is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people today who are very comfortable in their lives, walking with Christ, but they're still holding on to a net as they walk. They don't want to let something go. Those nets to the four fishermen represent their livelihood. But there are people today who are not willing to drop their nets for that certain thing that stops them from fully following Jesus. See, all Jesus wants for us is to drop our nets and to follow him, to be his disciples. Come, follow me. See, these ordinary men were not perfect following Jesus. They made mistakes, and for some reason, Peter's always the one that comes to mind of everybody who made mistakes. But he had a love for Christ that was beyond understanding too. See, these ordinary men did extraordinary things, but three of them paid an ultimate price with their lives. John, they tried to kill in a variety of different ways, but he survived to do a lot of writing. So today I want you to ask yourselves, have I counted the cost for me? I wouldn't change a thing right now. So I'm asking you today, have you dropped all your nets to follow Jesus, making him your rabbi, so to speak, to answer that call, come follow me? So if you have accepted that call and you are following him, do you see yourself still dragging onto a net behind you and not letting go of the things in life? That net whose you're dragging around as you follow him, it's a cost factor. A cost factor letting control of your life and not trying to control it yourself. So I encourage you today, let go of the net. Even if you are listening online today and having trouble letting go of a net and you're struggling with different things, connect us online. Let us know what you're struggling with. Maybe we can help you in some way, or praying for you that I have an issue I can't let go of. And maybe today there's something you want to pray about here of a net that you need to let go of. Because God's got a unique and fancy pattern of using ordinary people to do common, extraordinary things. So today, if you like, you can come up here. We're going to pray as we close, and we'll ask the praise band team to come up and sing our doxology. But the altar is open, or I can pray with you later. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you that people have called and answered the call, come follow me. They've responded with obedience and immediate calling to you. But today, Lord, we know that there are some that are struggling in life of letting everything go, for you can have complete control over their lives. May you be with them today. May you help us be able to answer the call of follow me and do what you need us to do for your kingdom and your glory. Amen.